Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. I will be joined shortly by .NET staffer Will Pruitt. It's good to be back. We haven't done a live show in a long time. And just for those of you who maybe just saw the link on Twitter or hearing this on delay and didn't know we were doing this, we will actually be live at 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern, Thursday, Friday, a not-so-live show on Saturday at the same time, and again on SummerSlam Sunday and Monday. Tomorrow I'll be joined by John Moore. On Saturday, we're turning it over to the Brits. Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge are going to be by. It's not a live show. It's just a little bit difficult with those guys being where they are, but that will be a tape show. So, no, they're not ignoring your phone calls, unless you're Rabbit, then they are. They are just that show will be a tape show. But I'll be back on Sunday with Zach Zimmerman, and then very excited on Monday to be joined by longtime friend Just Incredible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco, former ECW champion, WWE wrestler, and looking forward to getting his analysis of the SummerSlam event. And so a lot going on here on ProWrestling.net Live. It's going to be great to talk to you guys again if you want to join us today. The number is... See, I'm out of practice. It's 773-897-6321. I already see some people lined up, and I'll be bringing Will in shortly. If you are listening to the show and like, hey, I think I'm on hold for a question, all you have to do is hit the one, and that will put you in the queue. That way we know you want to get on the air and ask a question, talk some SummerSlam with us. Before we get into things, just a little bit of business to do. Right now, having a $1 for 1 month special at ProWrestling.net on our ad-free membership site. If you enjoy this audio show or any of the all-access audio that you hear, you would absolutely love the membership site. And it's not just the 1 month special. If you've ever thought about locking yourself into membership and wanted to save yourself a good chunk of change, now is the time to do it. This is only the second sale we've done this year. We have a 6 month membership price of $27, which is $12 off of our usual 6 month rate. The annual membership, $45, $21 off of the annual rate. So great pricing options available. I don't know that we're going to have another sale anytime this year. I'm not going to sit here and swear that we won't, because you never know. But that is right now, this is only our second one of 2015. So we're not like Kohl's where we have a daily sale on everything in the store somehow magically. This is a rarity for us. And if you are interested in that, the easiest way to do it, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. If you're listening live, it should be the second thing you see on the site, and you can find coupon codes in there, along with a direct link to our membership sign-up page. Use the corresponding coupon code, and you'll have access to those savings for whether it's the $1 for 1 month or the 6 month or annual membership sale price. Jump on it. It's not going to last long. Trying to give you guys some savings for SummerSlam weekend. Hopefully you guys will enjoy this show enough that you're going to say, hey, I want more of those idiots. Speaking of idiots, let's bring in my co-host. I believe hopefully everything is going smoothly. Will, welcome to the show.
Hi there. I am an idiot.
Yeah, well, hey, we all are here at ProWrestling.net. That's what we specialize in. And Will, of course, but let's get this out of the way. But before I forget, I've been known to, where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at It's Will Time. ITSWILLTIME.
Very simple. Of course, you can follow .NET itself. I'm the one who's updating that at ProWrestlingNet if you have any questions on the membership special or anything else. Will, before we start taking some phone calls, I want to get your thoughts on – I think we'll start with NXT a couple days away. We'll just kind of hit on the big matches. I guess to start with, what are you expecting to happen with the Bayley match? Is this Bayley's time, or are they going to pull the rug out from under people and keep her the lovable loser as she challenges for Sasha Banks' NXT championship?
After watching tonight's episode of NXT, I have to believe it's Bayley's time. Just looking at the way they had Sasha talk during that contract signing segment, it seemed to me that there was no other option than to put the title on Bayley on Saturday. They've set it up well. It's going to be a huge crowd who will just be enamored with Bayley, and it's time. It's definitely time to give Bayley that triumph in the women's division.
We're having a little bit of audio quality issues with Will. Maybe it's just on my end. I have just opened up the chat room. Will, we can hear you. It's just a little bit choppy. I told you I'm behind on doing this. know, some of you guys who hang out in the chat room, that is open now. Let us know how Will sounds on your end, for that matter, how I sound. Hopefully things are smooth. If there is any kind of an issue on Will's end, we do have some backup plans. So I'm with you. I do think this is the time they go with Bayley. And then the NXT Championship, it's the ladder match with Finn Balor defending against Kevin Owens. And I won't say who. We'll try to, just in case it does turn out to be a spoiler, I'm not reading too much into it, because I think you can always edit some things conveniently. There's ways you can do it. But one of those two at the NXT tapings for the show that aired last night and future shows showed up with the NXT Championship title. For that matter, they did the same thing with one of the women. I'm not reading too much into it. I think at least one of them is a swerve. But again, I'm not going to say who. But I guess, how much are you paying attention to that? And also, just your pick for this match. Does Kevin Owens regain his championship, or is this the demon's time?
I'm not paying a ton of attention to that. It seems like they intentionally tried to mislead folks at those tapings. They seem to more than ever be playing with Full Sail crowd with the Kevin Owens promo, Sasha Banks kind of taking jabs at them as well. I think they were playing with that crowd a little bit, showing the people with titles that they showed on the tapings. So I would not read into those at all. Obviously, they're taping at least one episode of NXT at Barclays Center, and then who knows what they actually use from those tapings to fill up the rest of the weeks of NXT that they have to go before the next set of tapings.
All right, I think we have some technical issues that have been resolved. Hopefully you guys are hearing me now. I dropped Will. We were having some issues with him. I don't think he was hearing me. And now I'm trying to go to area code 631 to take a call here. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Kyle from Long Island, New York.
Hey, Kyle. I'm happy somebody can hear you. What's going on today, bud?
Not much. I was wondering what your opinion about the crowd being burned out by the Monday Night Raw, because the crowd's going to be crazy Saturday night, and it's going to be pretty crazy here on Sunday night as well.
The crowd burnout at the show I was at on Monday?
Do you think it'll burn out, like, due to like, this weekend shows, the Monday night show?
Oh, well, I think it really depends on show quality. You know, I mean, because we've seen WWE has the ability, when they deliver a strong edition of Monday Night Raw, to really maintain the audience interest. I thought I was at one of those shows on Monday, because there were times when they started to fade a little bit, but then they would do, you know, the next segment, for instance, would get people awake again. Sometimes are better than others. It hasn't been a major issue when it comes to the pay-per-views, by and large, because they're giving you the quality matches. You know what's yet to come. And this lineup, I don't know if there's going to be too many moments. Plus, with the those East Coast crowds tend to be pretty boisterous and into it. And so I think I don't worry so much about, okay, if it's a rough show, does the crowd get burned out as much as I do? If it's a rough show, does the crowd start to turn on certain people? Kyle, are you going to the shows?
I'll be going to all three. I actually emailed you earlier this week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did. And you lived there. I mean, is that really a concern of yours, even at 4 hours, that this live crowd is going to burn out?
I think it has a problem. Like I'm just worried about the Lesnar and Taker match reflecting on Monday night. Because if something happens and they all agree with it, like a crappy finish, it's going to be hell on Monday.
Well, yeah, that is certainly possible. I don't know that we're going to get one there. When I get Will Pruitt back on again, we've had some technical issues, and unfortunately, Will is offline right now, but we hope to get him back on, and it hopefully it's not going to take long. I definitely want to get his take on Taker and Lesnar as well. I've said, you know, it repeatedly now that my take on it is my best guess. This is no inside info. This is just my guess. As far as the finish of that thing goes, I look at it and I really see the possibility that Undertaker is retiring in his home state at WrestleMania 32. And if that's the case, Kyle, does it matter if he loses this match? If they have him lose, knowing that, hey, at WrestleMania 32, we bill it as the last ride, I just don't think anyone is really bothered by the fact that he lost to Brock Lesnar. I think they're just focused on, wow, it's Undertaker's last match. I need to see this.
By that, I mean, like, the ending, like, it would be, like, by Undertaker knowing he's about to lose, so he just kicks Lesnar in the nuts to get a DQ. That's what I mean by crappy finish.
Well, yeah, of course, if they give you something like that, the crowd is going to reject it, you know, but I don't think, you know, so many people, I think, are guessing that there's going to be some sort of a cop-out finish. I think it's more likely to occur in the John Cena-Seth Rollins match, and the reason I say that is because they haven't gone out of their way to tell you there must be a winner or anything like that. You know, they usually, if they're going to give you that type of definitive payoff and people kind of already have their guard up, then they'll tell you there's going to be a winner. We haven't heard that. I don't think we'll get two crap finishes in back to back. So I think if we're going to get one, it might be in that match, but I think we get a clean finish to some extent, hopefully a satisfying one in the Taker Lesnar main event.
Okay, I just want to have one more question for you, Jason. I feel like I've been around the stadium for the past couple of days talking to other fans. It feels like people are more excited about NXT than SummerSlam. I was just wondering your opinions on that.
Oh, I'm sure it depends on the fans, but I mean, I think there are way more people out there that are aware of SummerSlam than there are NXT. You know, and if you just look at the promotion they've given it on television leading up to it, if you're only watching mainstream WWE show, you know, Raw, SmackDown, that sort of thing. There's been some, but it's not like they're going back to back. You know, just they're not trying to build this as like a doubleheader for people. It's one of those things where they mention it, but by and large, it's if you know about it, cool. If you don't, you don't. And so the masses out there, many of them, most of them, are just going to watch the SummerSlam show. And I mean, I wish WWE would release numbers as far as NXT compared to SummerSlam. You know, I don't think they will, but I'd love to see them do that at some point, just how many people watched each show. I don't think we'd be too shocked by it. I just think SummerSlam is the bigger brand. WWE is the bigger brand. NXT, a lot of people excited about it, Kyle, but I just think that, yeah, there's going to be that passionate fan that's going to say that, but that passionate fan, I can almost guarantee you in 99% of the cases, that fan is going to watch both shows.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. I'll be sure to send you a report after every show.
All right, man. I really appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Enjoy yourself at those shows. And I think we have Will back on the line here, if I can find him. Will Pruitt, is this you?
Hi there, Jason. How's it going, man?
Hey, there we go. Ah, man, I feel so much better. We're just getting the kinks worked out. Like I say, it's been a while since we've done one of these shows. And, Will, what do you think? I don't know if you get to hear our conversation about Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. I'm curious to know. I heard you were pretty passionate in the member-exclusive Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast with Will and Jake. I got to hear you vent pretty good about who you feel should go over. So why don't you share some of that? Maybe not the F-bombs you used with the Diva talk, but share some of that passion here on the live show.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me if Undertaker goes over in this match. It makes no sense to me if Undertaker is the first person to beat Brock Lesnar coming off of Lesnar breaking the streak. And you can say, yes, that you can say that Seth Rollins won the match at WrestleMania, which is true. He did. Seth Rollins pins Roman Reigns to win the match. Brock Lesnar wasn't beat, and they purposefully protected him to protect Brock Lesnar and not get something out of it at the end, to not have it be a Roman Reigns, or to be making to not protect Brock Lesnar until he's ready to make the next guy by losing that mystique of the streak to him, but just to drop it back to Undertaker makes the streak mean nothing, makes Brock's entire run mean almost nothing up to this point, because it was the streak that reinvigorated him. It was the streak that added that huge mystique to Brock Lesnar. And if you take all of that away with a loss to The Undertaker, what, you're sacrificing the best chance you have at making the next guy to a guy's retirement tour? It makes no sense.
I agree. I just think it would be a mistake. If they do this, Will, I mean, is this just a sign that, well, I look at it as one of two things, maybe. They want to set up a rubber match for WrestleMania, which I really don't want to see. Or it's just they think so highly of Undertaker that they want to give him a win back for some reason, and they just feel like they can rebuild Brock Lesnar. I mean, I'm not agreeing with the logic, but do you think that's what it would be, one of those two things?
I think it could be give him the win back or set up the rubber match, but I don't think long-term planning should include a rubber match between them. It shouldn't include that. I think the best thing they could do is, honestly, Brock Lesnar beats The Undertaker again, even with Undertaker's, like, mutant ball shot that somehow always takes out Lesnar. You know, Undertaker gives him everything. He still can't get it done. And Lesnar goes on. He does what he's going to do at WrestleMania, and they have someone like John Cena get challenged by The Undertaker. Undertaker says, I know I have to beat the best to stay here and win, lose, or draw. This is it. This is the last ride. Dallas, I want this. Doing a rubber match between them, or even just doing a third match between them, is to me, it's not a great option, even though I think it's where WWE ends up going.
You can join us today by giving us a call at 773-897-6321. I know we were off the air for a little bit, so I don't know if people heard it. The chat room is open, and I was slow to open that because I am rusty with this live stuff, at least on the controlling side of things. I just kind of get to sit back and be a co-host on Tuesdays with Wade, but I'm steering this ship, and we almost hit an iceberg, but I think we just narrowly avoided that. We would love to hear from you. If you were on hold and you haven't been and you want to join us and you want to talk, but you haven't heard any indication, hit 1 on your phone, and that will show us that you would like to join us on the show. That way we're not going to people that don't want to chat. I don't see there he is. Or no, let me see here, because he was waiting to chat with us earlier, and then he dropped off. But if I know this guy, he wants to talk with us. .NET member Rabbit, is that you?
You know it's me, Jason.
In the two-hole where he belongs. He's in the familiar two-hole of .NET Live. Rabbit, what's going on today?
I called because about Bayley, who's going to win the title. If I'm a betting person, I will go into the .NET forums, put all my .NET dollars on Bayley to win the belt.
You have your chance to do it today.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe it's the daytime thing. Rabbit, you can do that now. The V-Bookie betting options are open in the members forum for people who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. It's mythical. No, I'm not running an illegal underground gambling ring. Although I should. That wouldn't be a bad idea. But .NET members have a chance to take part in that. Rabbit, if you heard us both earlier, we agree with you that we think she's going to win. I still, you know, you can't rule out the – I think this is her time. But she is a lovable underdog character. I think it would really disappoint 13,000 fans if she didn't win. But it does play into her character a little bit. So I'm leaving the door open ever so slightly, a little bit more than I think most people are. I think most people look at it like you do, Rabbit, where it's a slam dunk. What else is on your mind?
I've been just like I've been real busy lately and doing stuff, but I'm back in WWE, and it's SummerSlam, and Will's there, and you're there. But here's my thing, and now that they're calling up the women, and now that you got the women in there, Bayley's got to drop it to somebody eventually, and they got to bring Bayley up. Her character's too much of a fun-loving, ditzy, Lucille Ball type wrestler, but she can't make
Lucille Ball type. I've heard Bayley described a lot of ways. I've never heard Lucille Ball. Will, I know we're on the same page. I know from listening to the Pretentious Show. Bayley, when they call her up, should they mess with that character at all, or is it ready for WWE main television?
I think they don't need to mess with the character. What they need to do when they call Bayley up is introduce her the same way they did in NXT. One of the major mistakes WWE has made in pretty much every NXT call-up they have made, possibly with the possible exception of Kevin Owens, is they've decided to put a lot of these women on TV, assuming that the entire audience has prior knowledge of their characters and who they are, and not taking the time to introduce them. And you can't do that with Bayley. I think Bayley needs to go through the full journey of being introduced and being that lovable loser that people get, for lack of a better word, loser that people get behind before she can climb that mountain and be champion. We're seeing the apex of her journey in NXT, but you can't just bring her over and not tell that complete story on the WWE main roster.
I am 100% in agreement with Will on that. And I say, even if she wins the NXT championship on Saturday, when she does get called up to the main roster, never refer to her as a former NXT champion. You don't have to lie. Just don't bring it up, because that way people aren't going, oh, she's had success before, who have never seen her. I really think that character that, yeah, the NXT crowd might be like, oh, why are they doing, we've already seen this. Too bad. You know, I mean, in that case, it really is for her benefit to be introduced to the main audience as you saw it play out in NXT. And yeah, it's repetitive for part of the audience, but for the majority of it, I think it's a really fun journey that they could be taken on. I've even said, like, and I know this isn't going to be popular with Rabbit, but I've even said I wouldn't mind seeing her fail to win the NXT championship, never win the title until someday at WrestleMania when they build it up. I don't think, Rabbit, I don't think you're going to have to wait that long. What else is on your mind today, bud?
Okay, well, what about Emma? When Emma first came in, they introduced her, didn't they?
Yeah, they failed. Like, when they introduced Emma, they said, look, she dances, and that's it. They didn't build up her character the same way they did in NXT. They just expected everyone to be doing the dance because 300 people at Full Sail University do the dance, and that doesn't work when you're in the big arenas WWE runs. So that Emma is like the prime example of why of an NXT call-up failing to actually do what they did in NXT to get the character over.
Thanks. Jason, don't you think that there's going to be a cat fight between Lana and Summer?
A cat fight between, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, that's just it. I thought they were going to go with the mixed tag match there, and they didn't. Now I'm left wondering, is it because they're saving it or because they're not that very confident when it comes to Lana's in-ring abilities? The only thing we've seen her do is throw the kick on Monday and do the old ECW Dawn Marie Francine cat fight where you just kind of roll around on top of each other. So, yes, I think we will definitely see something with those two on Sunday, and it probably won't be much more than that. And maybe we get the mixed tag down the road. Maybe we don't. Rabbit, is that it for today, bud?
Pretty much, except one thing. I still say that you should challenge. I would challenge you and Will in box hockey if either one of you want to play.
Oh, man, geez, I don't know what happened. We lost Rabbit there. Rabbit has an ongoing box hockey challenge. For those who are not in the forum, it's very entertaining. He has posted video of himself playing box hockey, and he claims he's in a best-of-five series. And somehow he put up – the first video he put up was him losing, and then I'm like, oh, so he lost. No, he put up another one of him winning and then claims his phone died. He claims he won the best-of-five series 4-1. I pointed out to him that usually when you have a best-of-five, once someone wins three, they don't just have the other game for fun. I'm not buying it, Will. I think I've told Rabbit I will gladly play against winners. I don't know that he won that.
Yeah, I doubt he did. It sounds to me like it's a grand cover-up.
I think it is. Yeah, Rabbit, you know, you proved to me somehow, buddy, because it was a tournament, too, and I've yet to hear anything else about other matches that he had. I think he was a one-and-done. I think he was that big top-seeded team that lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And that, you know, they were supposed he was, because he claims he was like the Summer Rec champion back in the day. And I don't know that I'm buying this now. I think he's the one and done type guy, and he just doesn't want to admit it. And I'm just not going to waste my time playing against nobodies in the great sport of box hockey. Let's go. Well, first off, you can join us today. 773-897-6321 is the number to join us. Again, if you want, once you get in, hit one, and then we'll know you want to talk to us. We have somebody that wants to talk to us. And he is from, oh, where'd he go? Oh, well, he dropped off. So we got a little time to chat here. Looking at the NXT card, I guess one of the matches that jumps out to people, I've had people ask me about this, including .NET member, not GST. I always get him confused. I don't have his, I always screw that up. Yeah, Greg.
GDT, yes.
GTS, that's it. We have a GST and we have a GTS. He was asking about the Baron Corbin Samoa Joe match. And the thing that throws him off is that, you know, Baron Corbin's been this undefeated guy. They seem, whether the fans see much in him, they team too. That's kind of his gimmick. And here's Joe in NXT world, this unbeaten guy. I know he's lost in three ways and whatnot. Is it? I think most people are looking at this as being, well, Samoa Joe probably wins. Is it that simple?
Well, Baron Corbin isn't actually undefeated, for one. He lost, I think, there was a tournament that I think Balor ended up winning to get a title shot at one point. I think Neville actually defeated Baron Corbin. He's lost a few matches, but he rarely loses in NXT. And I could actually see them putting Baron Corbin over Samoa Joe, maybe even by cheating, knowing that Baron Corbin will probably be booed out of the Barclays Center because the New York crowd in general doesn't tend to put up with stars that they don't think are good. And Baron Corbin, one of the things he's even getting down in Full Sail is that the fans think he's boring. He's not exciting and that they don't want to watch him. They don't want to watch him have 30-second squashes. They don't want to watch him have longer matches. So I think we're going to end up possibly seeing Baron Corbin beat Samoa Joe via some sort of chicanery that leads to a longer feud between the two.
And I was kind of a Baron Corbin defender. And when it came to, you know, people were down on him because he's a true developmental type. You know, he's not Finn Balor, who's wrestled all over the world. And I just kept saying, this guy has the right size. He's a former NFL guy. He's just kind of retooling his body now. They see something in him. There must be something there. Give it time. I just haven't been impressed with the evolution since then. I wanted to see more progression. When the promos aren't what I expected them to be. He's not a bad talker, but it just doesn't fit with whatever I guess I imagined his promo style would be. It's just kind of straightforward. So I'm not completely down on the guy, but I'm certainly not as optimistic as I once was. But Triple H said he has it all, and he just needs to put it together in the ring. I'm still waiting to see that. 434, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Fair Play.
Oh, dear Lord, what do you want?
I heard the rumor of a possible John Cena face turn at SummerSlam. What do you think?
In front of the Brooklyn crowd, I'm going to guess no. John Cena cannot become a babyface in Brooklyn.
Well, no. If Cena wins and Sheamus cashes in, but Cena doesn't, he cashes in the briefcase but doesn't win. I think the crowd could cheer John Cena for Sheamus not becoming champion.
Will, your thought on this? Mess of an idea. I'm having a hard time. I've heard it before, and I'm still trying to like put it together in my mind. Have you figured it out?
I think so. The idea here that Johnny's saying is John Cena wins the title, Sheamus tries to cash in, and John Cena actually beats Sheamus in the cash-in match, thus preventing a Sheamus world title reign, which I do think would babyface him in Brooklyn. People would be psyched about John Cena preventing another Sheamus world title reign, and I think it's one of the issues with Sheamus as the Money in the Bank guy because no one really wants to see him cash in or is going to care when he does. And it's one of the funny things going into the SummerSlam because I've seen that prediction a lot about the Money in the Bank cash in. And they've done Money in the Bank cash ins after the SummerSlam main event in 2011 and 2013. So it being an odd number year, it might just be that time.
Johnny, of course, this is Johnny Fairplay of Survivor fame, former TNA, not manager, they told him, but just the biggest villain in the company at one time is what Jeff Jarrett told him. Johnny, this whole John Cena t-shirt thing, he has a 15-time champion t-shirt that just came out, all sorts of merchandise for it. People are looking at that going, why would they put out a 15-time t-shirt for a guy who, if he's going to win number 16, I would say the counter to that is that, yeah, they actually did come up with this a while ago, and now they're trying to have a fire sale. I'm not sure I believe it. I'm just kind of reaching for reasons here. What do you make of that, Johnny Fairplay?
I think they're booking on the fly. I think, you know, the ratings going down. They want to go into NFL season with the strong baby faces or champion, hoping that that will turn things around. I don't think that's the answer. John Cena is my MVP of the year. And if he wasn't in this world title match, I was actually going to buy that t-shirt. But I think it was just that the t-shirt was already designed. They figured it was going to be a while before he was slipped in that position. Things changed. And you're buying the most worthless John Cena t-shirt ever made, if you get this one, because I really think he's getting that belt now.
So there you hear it, Johnny Fairplay predicting big number 16 for John Cena. I like that they worked in the Ric Flair talk that, you know, he has a chance to tie it, because I thought it was strange that they didn't go there before. I guess with him being a sideline, that he'd explain some of you think the podcast team would have mentioned it. They may have forgotten, but they remembered in time on the Go Home show enough to have him talk about it. Johnny, while you're here, your big prediction on Undertaker Brock Lesnar.
Nutshot DQ. I think they I hate it, but I mean possibly Kane coming out as old Kane and doing a number on Brock. I mean, I don't know.
Boy, that's a nutshot in and of itself.
Yeah, they both are. So I don't think people are gonna be happy. I mean, there's no way Brock loses. You know, I heard you guys talking earlier. I mean, the guy that took the streak is, you know, you gave that to him for him to pass that on to someone. You don't pass it back to the guy he beat. I mean, that defeats the purpose of all of it.
Now, many people have forgotten, Johnny, that you were a star on Tough Enough. Well, at least you called one time when your now ex-wife was on the show. You are the master of reality television. So I would be remiss if I did not get your official predictions for the Tough Enough finale coming up on Tuesday.
Well, this past Tuesday is the first Tuesday I've watched in real time. Typically I watch on DVR, and as a result, my vote does not count in the WWE universe. So, but I didn't want ZZ to win. So I watched live time. I voted, I texted, I used my app, and I tweeted for Josh, and I actually got a lot of retweets. And if you noticed, out of nowhere, Josh was more of a favorite than ZZ for the first time this season. So I'm not going to take personal credit, but I think.
But you are.
I think the Sanjaya vote is over. I think people are probably, they're just like, let's let the guy that deserves to win win. So I picked Josh, and unfortunately, I think they haven't come to the realization on Sarah, and she wins, unfortunately. But I don't think either girl's good, but the other girl is immensely better than Sarah.
And Johnny, being on all these reality shows, I know you've been, well, no one's ever seen anything like this weird season of Tough Enough, where it's like one part game show. Well, I wouldn't even say half reality show anymore. It's just a bizarre show. Is there a need? Can you come up with a reason, Johnny, why the judges would need earpieces when you have two hosts experienced in Jericho and Renee Young that could, hey, if they're going long, wrap them up, you know, do something like that? Do they really need the earpieces in?
Yes, absolutely. They've moved Jericho and Renee Young around the building, you know, where they stand for certain segments. There's a possibility that there's a spot that they wouldn't be able to hear. The show is so tight time wise. You don't want the show to stop with Daniel Bryan, you know, just look like not hearing it, you know, that the question or re-asking the question. It's just like, I didn't catch that. What was that, Chris? You know, like, you know, that's why I to hear Renee and Jericho.
So you're not at all suspicious that the notoriously just over-controlling Vince McMahon sending in certain suggestions or letting judges know, hey, you don't need to use your block because that the person we want is okay?
No, because Daniel Bryan would have if Daniel Bryan knew that Josh had votes ahead of ZZ, he would have been instructed to use the save on Tanner just to guarantee ZZ out. So no, I don't think so.
Here, I'll counter that. I don't know what's going. I mean, I just think Vince is very controlling, and I don't know that he's like trying to manipulate the voting at all. I would hope he's not, at least, but he is a control freak. And the week they were going off on ZZ.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I was just going to say, the week they were going off on ZZ, I could see Vince being very controlling there and kind of like, you know, in the earpieces to Daniel Bryan, Page, and The Miz saying, hey, let him have, you know, go out and say this. things like that, rather than, hey, here's the voting. Use your say. I don't think I guess I'd be surprised if we heard that somewhere down the road.
I don't think Vince McMahon's watching the show. I mean, you said it's, part reality, part show. It's 0% entertaining. So yeah, no, I'm sure he's seen a few minutes of it and said, this sucks. So, okay. If he is there, great, but it's a horrible show. And he's going to have a $250,000 ring putter together, just like you mentioned in your blog.
Yeah, he is. The Air McMahon goes down there from the events, and I 99% sure he's been in all of them. I can't even say with 100%, but usually Air McMahon doesn't go where Vince isn't going, or at least Hunter and Steph, and they're not going down there. So I assume it's a Vince McMahon deal. He's the one sitting in on the headsets, and who knows what is ever being said. Maybe someday one of the judges will leave the company and we'll actually find out. Johnny Fairplay, boring, will put to tears. He's a total divas guy. He is not a tough enough guy. So we need to talk about something else.
Will and I have a total divas conversation coming up in our near future. I'm shocked really, really quickly. How is Paige likable after watching the show? Like she's a brat. I almost had a crush on her at one point in watching Total Divas, which I haven't up until this season. I don't like her anymore. So there you go.
Yeah, she definitely. I don't know how anyone's likable on the show right now. This show used to seem like it was all about making Brie Bella likable. I developed a rather large crush on Brie Bella at the time, that still remains a little bit. But even she now has moments where it's like, why aren't you a better human? And I wonder that watching almost everyone on the show except for Trinity / Naomi. She is likable. She speaks truth, and she wants to be the fun stepmom. I would gladly be her stepchild and hang out in that bounce house.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like the thing is, like with Paige, like all Nikki Bella wanted was to do the tea party, and she's like, oh, you used to be a Hooters girl. You think you're fan? It's just like, let the girl have her tea party and act like a civilized person for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was a challenging episode.
Yeah, well, I actually fell asleep watching the episode probably four times, which makes it even more challenging because I'm just like, where did I leave off? I'm like, why am I even watching the show? My fiance is yelling at me. Why are you watching? Like, she's a chicken. She hates it. So but I did tweet a couple comments about Eva Marie. Eva Marie has a serious fan base from Total Divas, which I don't understand as well. It's just like, I'm like, her husband is a leech. He's horrible. All she does is buy him food, and she sucks. But no, they come real quick to defend her on Twitter and all social media. So she does have a fan base. It's just not at NXT.
That is for sure, after watching this week's show or, any of her appearances on NXT thus far.
Yes. All right,
Johnny.
Well, that's it. We worked in some Total Divas talk. Will's happy.
That's all that matters.
Now bored to tears.
Johnny Fairplay. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, talking Tough Enough and Total Divas and putting himself over as the reason that I think whatever happens from here, Will, clearly, and there's Vince, I'm sorry, I don't have the finish of the main event for you. I'm going to have to come up with that one on your own. Sorry about the phone ringing in the background, folks. I had to have it nearby just in case the old headset trick didn't work with Blog Talk technology. But, Will, do you think that Josh actually owes whatever good comes from his career to Johnny Fairplay now?
I don't know who Josh is. I have not watched a single second of Tough Enough. Like, I have avoided that entire show like the plague. I think it is the most pointless exercise in wrestling history.
You will know soon, because I think he is the Tough Enough winner. And so I assume that he goes out there and he does. You're going to like wonder why I'm saying this, because I'm a Star Wars guy like you are. He calls himself the Yeti and he does the Chewbacca sound effect. Like every chance he gets, he does the Chewbacca sound. I don't know why. So I just envision him going to the ring as the Tough Enough winner, doing the Chewbacca sound, and getting the taste slapped out of his mouth by Vince McMahon like the Silent Rage guy did. And this time around, I won't even be down on Vince for doing it. I will welcome it just because of that. That, and he wears a big lady bun on his head. I don't know why he's got like long hair and not. He doesn't just wear it in a ponytail. He ties it up in this lady bun every week. He's kind of a strange cat.
Maybe the Lady Bun is a tribute to Lana. Like, he's a big fan of Lana, has seen what she's accomplished in her short career, and says, I want to be like that. I want to have my hair like that.
The crowd in Minneapolis wanted to at least like Lana. I don't know if they wanted to be like her. Maybe some of the girls there did. But, you know, that was one of the encouraging things I talked about, Will, while we're talking a little bit, sticking with getting back to the Divas, since you are the total Divas guy. This Divas Revolution thing they're selling, they don't know what it is. They just like that it makes a nifty catchphrase slash hashtag. It's working. From the standpoint that the show I was at, I've never seen so many young women like excited to see Divas. I've been to a lot of shows over the years, and you got to go back to like Lita, maybe Trish to some extent. There were girls next to us that were freaking out anytime one of the Divas would come out. One of them just yelling, I love you, Nikki Bella. And I wanted to say, do you love her when she's a heel too? But I was good. But they absolutely, and it wasn't just them. I mean, you could see it around the arena. So from that standpoint, Will, I'm very encouraged, even though I can't stand this whole faction war thing they're doing.
Yeah, I know the house show I went to the other week. I always find house shows kind of fascinating because a different crowd goes to TV than the crowd that goes to a house show. But the opening match of the show was the Bella Twins versus Sasha and Naomi, and it was probably the second best match on the show, and the fans were into it the entire time. I know it was the opener, so you get a little bit of grace there with fans just wanting to see some action, but I was really impressed. And I do think that the branding effort they're making with the hashtag Divas Revolution is working. I just wish there were actual stories to back it up. I still don't see any evidence from WWE that they're going to take the women seriously and build the division around telling coherent stories the same way they do with men, or the same way they do with, you know, any other talent. And that kind of bums me out.
You can join us on the show still. We've got about 15 minutes of airtime left. We do have the ability to go a little bit later than that. You can call 773-897-6321. If you were on hold listening and you're like, hey, why aren't you taking my call? Hit 1, and then we know you actually want to be on the show. I think it's actually *1, something like that. You can figure it out. You're a big boy or girl, and you can join us on the show. And then again, of course, tomorrow, John Moore will be joining me. We'll get his thoughts on SummerSlam, Tough Enough, hopefully not Total Divas. Well, hopefully not Tough Enough, too. I meant to say NXT. But when you have the reality king, Johnny Fairplay, on the show, you at least have to talk a little bit of reality television with him. SummerSlam and NXT will be missing. And then the British Invasion with Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed. That's the one that is not live, but we're back live on SummerSlam Sunday. Zach Zimmerman and I will be discussing certainly NXT. Zach covers NXT closer than anybody out there as far as I'm concerned. He is borderline obsessed, and I mean that in a good way, and we'll get his take certainly on the NXT show and preview SummerSlam along with taking your calls. And then Monday is just incredible. The wrestler, that guy, former ECW champion, he will be joining me, and we will be rehashing SummerSlam and taking your calls on that show. And but Will, I do want to jump back into SummerSlam here for a second. One of the, I don't know how popular it is, it's certainly an ongoing theory, and I think it's just every month people are going to predict it until it finally happens, and I do think it's going to happen someday. I just don't know if it's at this show. Your thoughts on the possibility of Dean Ambrose turning on Roman Reigns here?
I don't think this is the right show for it, but I do see it as a possibility, and I do think we're going to see it in the next year. I do think we're going to see it sooner rather than later, and it could even be the thing WWE knows that they could do on this show to hook people for the fall, you know, to hook people into staying around until the Rumble, which is always a really rough, 5-month stretch. It's always kind of hard for fans. So I could see Ambrose turning on Reigns. I think we will see it. I don't think it happens at SummerSlam, though.
I talked about this in .NET Weekly that I would like, if they're going to do anything with this on this show, let this be a tease for something. You know, it just kind of plant that seed where maybe Reigns is trying to spear Wyatt and Harper gets him out of the way, and he accidentally spears Ambrose, and they lose the match as a result of that. And, you know, everything seems fine. And, you know, and even on Monday, everything is just fine there too. But it's just kind of that seed is planted. Maybe another mistake happens at the next show, something like that. And eventually, Ambrose, in his mind, has justification for turning on Roman Reigns. SummerSlam's a big show. That's the only way I could see reason why I would think they might do it here. But I want to see this play out in a more meaningful way. I want to see it be a bigger match for Roman Reigns, because that's when it's going to have the most impact. This is a mid-card match. Cesaro, Kevin Owens, I potential show stealer as far as if they're given enough time, Will?
Absolutely. I think potential show stealer. Looking at this card, I could see this one opening the show, because WWE is going to want to go really, you know, go in and really get the fans started off hot, get things started off really, really big with the first match out of the block. So I could see Kevin Owens and Cesaro being that opening match. And much like The Miz said, if you can't be in the main event, you should be in the opener, right? Maybe not. But there is a point there in the WWE does see their opening match slot as something valuable. And I could see this match being really good as an opener and getting the crowd really, really riled up.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think when we had our issues earlier, we were actually talking about this match. And I was kind of talking about the idea of Cesaro and, you know, if Owens wins the championship at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn the night before, do you think that has any bearing on the outcome of this match? Did they automatically say Owens goes over, or is there a way to do it where, yeah, Owens looks vulnerable, but NXT looks fine?
I don't think so. I don't think it has much of a bearing whether or not Owens goes over. I would watch more just to see what kind of punishment Owens takes in that ladder match to see how good the match with Cesaro is going to be. Because if Owens is hurting the day after wrestling in a ladder match, which he very well may be, you may want to lower your expectations for Owens versus Cesaro. But I don't think one finish will impact the other all that much.
I hope not. I do think there's a way that you can creatively just, you know, again, make Owens look a little bit vulnerable, but not bury NXT. I'm sure that, you know, that if Owens wins the championship and then loses at SummerSlam, there's going to be people all over that. To me, it just depends how it's done. Does New Day win the tag titles here? Is this their chance to regain the tag titles and hopefully do the skip and climb away to the ring and maybe even out?
I hope so. I would love to see the New Day back with the tag titles, and I don't even dislike the primetime players that much. There's just so much personality contained inside of the New Day, and they are so much fun to watch that I would love to see them get a good long tag title run as kind of the top heels in that division.
Well, we're going to go back to the phone lines here because let's hope this person has it was not on reality television. Unless it's someone, I don't know, there's been some okay people, but it can't be fair play again, right? 352, who are you and where are you calling from?
Steve from Florida.
I'm happy you're here, but there was a big part of me hoping that it was going to be like somebody that didn't know they were on and there was this silence. So we could have said, wow, it is Silent Rage. But Steve, what's on your mind today?
What role, if any, do you think Sting plays at SummerSlam?
Well, good question. I mean, it's a popular question. We know he's going to be in the area because they're bringing him in for, I think, autograph signings or something along those lines. So he's making appearances for WWE. Do you think he's involved in some way, shape, or form on the actual SummerSlam card?
I mean, if his flight out isn't until Tuesday or Monday, he might shake some hands backstage. But that's the biggest role I see Sting playing on the SummerSlam show. I don't see him being actually involved in the show.
Now, Steve, are you thinking along the lines of that a lot of people are when it comes to maybe they set up Undertaker Sting by having Sting cost through the match or, you know, something along those lines?
Yeah, only because it kind of gives them an out in the finish of the match. You get Brock to go over and you give Undertaker the built-in excuse. And you don't have to do the foolish thing and put Undertaker over Brock.
Tricky part there, though. I mean, Sting is not a heel. He wasn't introduced as one. I guess in a weird way, it would make the handshake with Triple H make more sense at the end of his ridiculous WrestleMania match. I don't think Sting costs Taker the match intentionally. I don't think this is going to happen. I could see something. But Heyman never gets involved either, and really they're not trying to portray Heyman and Lesnar as heels. I was going to say maybe Sting tries to help Taker and it backfires or something like that. I think the most likely way, Steve, if indeed he's going to do this, and I don't think he's going to appear in that match, would be afterward. Something where, some kind of confrontation afterward, or even Monday night, although Taker and Lesnar are not advertised for the Raw afterward. We'll see if they actually show. That whole scenario of Sting intentionally costing Taker the match just seems really strange to me. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just thinking you need something to get to the finish, because to me, you don't want the typical Lesnar match of, Suplex City and Undertaker getting thrown around. I mean, how safe is that? And then even if they were to do that, wouldn't that kill his mystique?
Does it matter?
Kill the Undertaker's mystique.
I was going to say, yeah, and Steve, does it really matter if Taker's retiring at WrestleMania 32 and they plan to bill that as his last ride? I mean, I just think people are going to want to see that regardless of whether he wins or loses at SummerSlam.
I can't disagree there. My whole thing, what I'm getting at is, I don't think because you've had Lesnar break the streak and you've had him on a streak of his own, I think the worst thing you could do is have him lose to, a part-time Taker at this point, especially if you want to build him up for another WrestleMania main event. I just don't think you can halt his momentum by having him lose at SummerSlam.
We are in total agreement with you when it comes to that. We definitely touched on it earlier in the show. Hopefully that wasn't part where we got chopped off. But I think it would be a big mistake. I think the only way it happens is if they just, for some reason, if there's some sort of cheap finish. But then the whole idea that Taker's a heel just seems so strange to me, because this is a guy that in April is going to be, or March, I can't even remember when WrestleMania is this year or next year, but he will be working in front of his hometown crowd, his home state crowd in Texas. I have a hard time believing that Undertaker is going full-fledged heel. And I hear the talk about Kane, things like that. I just can't wrap my mind around it, Steve, because he's going to be a babyface at WrestleMania no matter what they do.
Yeah, they're definitely in a tight spot with that match. I mean, how would you, if you've touched on it, I apologize, but how would you guys book the finish?
I would have Brock Lesnar go over clean, because I my guess is that Taker wraps it up at WrestleMania 32. And if he is not, I still have Brock Lesnar go over clean, yeah, because everything you talked about earlier, essentially with they put equity in Brock Lesnar right now, and you don't want to just spend that. You don't want to give that up on Taker.
I completely agree. Brock goes over clean. I don't think it's even a question. Heck, I would consider having this main event play out the way last year's SummerSlam main event played out.
Steve, anything else from you?
No, that's about it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear from you again. He was certainly a regular caller when we were live on Monday nights. I definitely recognize Steve. Will, just to kind of wrap up the whole SummerSlam talk here, and likely the show, there's a little bit of time people can call in and join us at 773-897-6321. I do want to talk to you about the celebrity match. John Stewart's a big get. I think we can all agree on that coming off the Daily Show. But Stephen Amell teaming with Neville to go against Stardust and Cosmic King, which I like a lot more than King Barrett, even though we've only seen the Cosmic King for a second. How much of an impact does Stephen Amell have? I mean, is the knock on him is that he's not, he's not a household name, but how much of an impact can he make for WWE when it comes to bringing in a different audience at SummerSlam?
I think a pretty decent impact. I've actually had a couple friends who are on the nerdier side of things, but, you know, more like they watch the comic book TV shows, which Arrow is, not nerdy in a derogatory way. But, you know, are on that side of things, say that they want to come over and watch SummerSlam because they know Stephen Amell's going to be on it. He's very popular with that crowd. If you saw, you know, the Comic-Con footage of him kind of cutting a WWE-style promo, you would see people really like him and respond to him. So I think he can have a decent effect with bringing a different audience in. The question is that audience going to spend $10 to see it, or are they going to do what my friends are doing and come over and join the party they already know I'm having?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some of that from people that just, you know, aren't into wrestling, but they have that friend. But it helps. It exposes them to the product. Maybe they see something else they like, and maybe it gets them to watch on Monday night, even if it doesn't get them to the network. John Stewart now is going to get way more mainstream attention. But I think it, if nothing else, Stephen Amell has gotten them some publicity. It's not major publicity, but it's some. You know, anything helps here. And I just like that this guy is so committed to this. That, I mean, he's fired up about being there. He's a fan. This isn't just he was booked for this, and you know he'll phone his way through it. I mean, this guy seems legitimately fired up about being part of SummerSlam.
Yeah, and that's one of the really fun things about watching him, and I think it absolutely came through in the angle they did in Seattle the other week or last week. Is Stephen Amell is excited to be there. He wants to be there, and I just know that he's got a pretty good reputation with the wrestlers backstage, even who are happy to have him around. They actually think he's a pretty cool dude. So Stephen Amell seems like an all around good guy, and I know. You know, they're still getting buzz on entertainment sites and things like that. And, you know, your Ease of the World or whatever other entertainment sites exist with Stephen Amell coming to SummerSlam. So they still have something going there.
Let's see. We do have one more caller lined up, unless I just bumped him. No, 3-7, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York, and I have two questions.
Go for it.
Okay, the first question is actually about China. If you were advising her, given that you're a journalist in the industry, would you advise her to keep pursuing this WWE Hall of Fame induction, which really doesn't mean anything in the real world? Or would you advise her just to move on with her life? And the second question is about Undertaker. Do you think it makes sense for Brock Lesnar to beat Undertaker again at SummerSlam and then just set up a match where Undertaker says, I'm going to retire after next WrestleMania, and then he wins that match against Lesnar just to retire a winner?
All right, good questions, Chris. Let's start with the China one. What would you tell China about her pursuit of the WWE Hall of Fame, which even included her reaching out to or approaching Triple H at the funeral of Roddy Piper and saying, I'm sorry?
Maybe stop. Like, I really don't care about this issue at all. So I would be like, hey, you do you, China, whatever.
I honestly think the best thing she can do is to stop drawing attention to it. I go up and just live a better life. You know, and I'm not trying to judge her, but when it comes to the porn thing, I know, you know, Triple H has mentioned that as an issue. But so it's not even that that's part of it, I guess, if she wants in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if she does porn or doesn't. But it's just we know she's had some issues. And maybe if she can prove that she has her life together and slowly but surely, you know, maybe those old wounds can heal. I don't know that they can. But I think that's a lot more likely to get WWE's attention if she's a little more discreet about things. And I don't know that it's ever going to work, but I really don't think a campaign, you know, her really trying to push buttons and trying to get in is going to do it. And I still say if she apologized to him, I'm sorry for everything, is I think what Sean Waltman, I'm just paraphrasing what he had heard she said to him. And she even acknowledged it in a video that she did apologize to him. What are you apologizing for? Is it because you made up a story about him striking you? I'm not trying to put words in her mouth. Is she sorry for that? Does she mean, is that not what she was sorry for? Did that act, you know, I mean, she just that happened, but now she's apologizing. don't just apologize to him, you know, in a quick brief exchange. Explain. I think you owe everyone an explanation as to what you're apologizing for, because you've made some pretty heavy allegations about this guy that Sean Waltman, as you know, publicly said is BS, and he spent a lot of time with her. So I think she has a lot of explaining to do, and I just don't think lobbying to get into the WWE Hall of Fame is going to work for her. Undertaker, the idea, Will, that he would lose this match to set up a potential retirement match, yet win it and stick around, and so everyone goes home happy at in Texas. Your thoughts on that?
I think what Chris's actual idea was is Undertaker loses this match, says one more time, win, lose, or draw, I want to try and beat Brock Lesnar, and then he wins the match and still, you know, goes home because that's the end. And I'd be more okay with that than I would be with Brock Lesnar losing at SummerSlam. But honestly, I don't think Undertaker should be the guy that beats Lesnar. And after this match, I don't want to see another Undertaker versus Lesnar match. I think there are better matches out there for both guys. I could see it playing out sort of like Chris said, where it becomes, you know, where Undertaker comes out and says, you know, I failed here. I failed, you know, kind of, I know I'm done, but I can be as good as I have ever been one night. That kind of thing, where he says, this is the last ride. No matter what, this is the end. John Cena, or, you know, insert person here, I want you at Texas Stadium. And I think Undertaker versus Cena is really the dream match of WWE. It's the one thing they have not gone to since, like, 2002, when John Cena was a different person and Undertaker was a different person. Now you're looking at it 13 years later, 14 by that time, and that is a massive match that they've never done and really only teased once.
I got to say, that match doesn't appeal to me like it once does, and the big part of it is the absence of the streak, because I always thought you save that for the last WrestleMania match the Taker has. That's the last ride, is the match against Cena, but the streak is in play. And so the mystery becomes, does Taker go out unbeaten, or does he pass the torch to John Cena on his way out? And once you take that away, and once they start the build, it's a match I can get into. I'm not just crapping all over it, but it did lose a little bit of its luster with the lack of the streak there. As far as with the Chris's scenario, I do like it more than Brock losing here, but I'm with Will on this one, in that I don't think Taker should be the guy that beats Lesnar. That may be what they have in mind. It would play into kind of the theme they had with Shawn Michaels and Triple H and their WrestleMania match with Taker, where Shawn kind of became a little obsessed with Taker, and then I think it was actually Taker who was obsessed with Triple H, wasn't it, Will, where all of a sudden he's like showing up bald and all that? Yeah, so I mean, there's a little bit of that we've seen already, and so maybe it kind of plays into that theme. Who knows? That might be what they have in mind. We're going to take one more call, and we're going to call it a day. So 414, who are you and where are you calling from? 414, are you there? Oh, 414 dropped. So, Will, I don't want to close on that note. There it is. All right. I feel better. 414, if you can get back in quickly, I'll be happy to try coming back to you really quick. But otherwise, I do want to get a couple more SummerSlam matches to get Will's take on. I guess I never asked. I assume, like everyone, you think the celebrity goes over with Stephen Amell and Neville?
Yeah, I think you see Stephen Amell hit a couple spectacular moves. He's a pretty athletic dude, and I think they're going to limit his involvement. That's one of the reasons Neville is in there. You see Stephen Amell hit a couple spectacular moves, probably see Neville hit the red arrow, and then you see Amell pin Stardust in that match.
Then we have the other one. I who wins that the Divas three-way elimination?
I think it's got to be the former submission sorority. Sorry, that name, that whole thing still makes me laugh. It's got to be Becky and Charlotte. Yes.
I agree.
If you want a babyface team with male fans, that's probably it, sadly. But they
that would be.
I think it's that team that's got to win, and you may even see a moment where all three of them put their signature submissions on Team Bella or something in the finish to make this massive moment. I have to say they're doing a better job with those three except for the fact that those three are proving to be terrible anytime they're handed a microphone.
One potential tell to watch for at the NXT show in Brooklyn is, I believe it's, is it Charlotte and Becky Lynch are working a four-way at the show, or am I mistaken?
Yes, they're working a four-way on the NXT episode that will actually – they're taping it before the rest of the TakeOver special, before the TakeOver special goes live. But it's part of the 90-minute NXT episode that's going to air this next Wednesday night.
Right. And so if they're – you know, it just seems odd it's a four-way and not a tag match, because I believe the other two women have also worked as a team before. And maybe it'll turn into that. The only thing I thought here was that, you know, maybe it's just I'm dreaming and I want them to get rid of the faction so badly. If there's a lot of tension between Charlotte and Becky Lynch, and it, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense as you're watching it, hey – maybe they did something. Maybe they'll do something at SummerSlam that will explain it by the time it actually airs. And then the only other match I haven't asked you about, Ryback, Big Show, and Miz, triple threat for the IC title. Who comes out on top?
You've got to keep the Intercontinental Championship on the big guy.
Feed him more, baby. Feed him more.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think that covers everything as far as the SummerSlam card is concerned. Everybody follow Will at It's Will Time on Twitter, and be sure to check out his fine work. His most recent submission is Total the Diva on Total Divas that he does regarding the wonderful world of Total Divas that someday I need to immerse myself in, because once you're out of it, it's easy to just kind of move on with your life. But boy, when you are watching it, it's kind of perverse fun, Will. I got to admit, I missed the show. It does, yeah. Now that Tough Enough's ending, I might just have to see if I can catch a marathon or something.
Yeah, you know, I had given up on Total Divas. Season three really just left me a little downtrodden and sad. It was like the height of Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Ariane being on the show, and Trinity wasn't on the show for that season. And I found those three to be immensely dislikable, even more than some of the other women may be sometimes. But this season is gold. It's very, very entertaining. So I would recommend that show to anyone who likes good reality television, as opposed to Tough Enough, which is just awful pseudo television. I don't even want to put it in that same category.
All right. And well, thank you very much for joining me today, Will. Everybody check out his fine work at prowrestling.net. Will does an amazing job in the blog section. And, well, he doesn't do TV recaps because, I can't make him. He just won't do it. But definitely check out Will Pruitt's amazing work at prowrestling.net. And thanks to everyone who called today. 414, I apologize. I did see that you tried to call back in and you were queued up. And you were gone again. I'm guessing you're having some connection issues. But hey, the good news is we will be back on Friday. Well, at least I will be. I will be joined by .NET staffer John Moore, who covers he was covering Lucha Underground for us. And now he does the TNA and Ring of Honor hit lists, among other things, for .NET. Always good to catch up with John. Don't forget, on Saturday, it is the only show that is not live, but it's the British Invasion. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Glee, .NET staffers, checking in to discuss SummerSlam and all things SummerSlam weekend. And then on Sunday, the actual SummerSlam Sunday, I'll be joined by Zach Zimmerman, who will be doing live coverage of NXT, the Brooklyn Takeover show. Takeover Brooklyn, I'll get it right. He'll be doing that for .NET on Saturday night, so be sure to check that out. And then he will be getting together with Darren Gutteridge for a member-exclusive audio review on Sunday morning, but then he's going to be joining me at 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern time on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about that NXT show for sure, get some analysis from Zach on that. And then we will be previewing SummerSlam and taking your phone calls. And then Monday, same time, 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern, really looking forward to talking with Justin Credible, getting his analysis on the SummerSlam show. And so it's always good to hear from a wrestler, get their perspective on things. And sorry about the technical issue earlier. Hopefully by tomorrow things will be cleaned up. But hopefully you've been able to tell, yeah, we had some bumps in the road. I shouldn't even say this because I don't hear myself, so I don't know how well it came off. But we hit some bumps in the road, but we can usually get them cleaned up pretty quickly. And hopefully it'll be smooth sailing from here on out on ProWrestling.net Live. Hey, take advantage of that dollar special I told you about earlier in the show. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. You should be able just to look in the main news area. And if it's not at the top of the page, it'll be close to it. $1 for 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership. The ad-free version of the site. All of our audio content available from our entire history. We don't take it down. We leave it all there for you. And then you can also take part in that V-Bookie betting on SummerSlam that we mentioned in the members forum. Really good group of people in there. They would love to correspond with you. So get in that members forum. And you can also save money on the six-month and annual membership price as well. I know some of you existing members are going to go, hey, maybe I should sign up for that. I'm not going to tell you not to. Well, I am, because it's meant for new and returning members. But if you do, all I ask is that you cancel your current membership and save us both the hassle of you getting double billed. So there it is. All right. And you can find all the details on that on ProWrestling.net. And again, join us tomorrow. It's good to get back in the saddle despite the little technical glitch there. But join me tomorrow and hopefully things will be a little bit smoother as I talk with John Moore. Thanks again to Will Pruitt. Check him out at It's Will Time. Follow me at ProWrestlingNet. Until tomorrow, take care, everybody.